It is great to have you on the Family Goals Podcast with David Pollock and Pastor Jay. I'm Joel Inhouse, and on this podcast, we want to encourage you to grow closer to God, to strengthen your marriage, and to inspire your family to reach its highest potential. Today on the podcast, we discuss grief and loss and how to show up for your friends. Here's the conversation.
Let's just talk about what's going on personally with you and your friend group. One of your best friends' wife passed away suddenly. Yeah. And super sad, very tragic. And I just wanted us to have an episode where we just talk about that, because part of life is suffering loss, and part of life is going through things that we don't want to go through. And I was talking to Jeff. I was texting Jeff, and we were talking about foxhole friends. And I preach on this all the time, like the importance of small group, the importance of doing life together, the importance of having foxhole friends. And I said, man, you've got some real foxhole friends. And he sent me this beautiful text that said his he was blessed. His wife is in heaven dancing with Jesus, and he has an army of people that are holding him up.
Well, and I think that's the, you know, listen, I'd be a fool if I had sit here and say that you're happy about it or excited about it, and you know that, you know, God's in control. I mean, like, I know that, but that doesn't mean it makes sense. And I think, you know, I've lost a grandparent, or I've lost all my grandparents before, but I wasn't around them every day. And just so to lose somebody when you do life with them, you know, you're in church with them every Sunday. They're in your house every Sunday, and you're doing small group, and you do sports and all that stuff, and just people that are an integral part, it just hits different. And it makes you feel different for the future, for how you talk to other people and how you do other people. But it's been fun to see the people with Jeff and the people show up. Like, and I think this is more people that are experiencing this and going through this. Like, you gave me the best advice ever, because I'm sitting there next to the car with him, and he just found out. We're driving down the road, and I'm like, I don't have a clue what to say. And you said, don't worry about what you say. Just be there. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the part you see people that you're just – so many people just showing up and not knowing what to say, not knowing how to feel, but knowing that he needs you there. And it's been really, really cool. But you talk about the small group, and you talk about friends, and you just – it doesn't make the pain go away, but it shows you the impact that your family made. And that's kind of taking the positives and just showing up, doing whatever we can, however we can, to be there.
And just to give some context for those listeners who may not know, one of the couples in our church, she was 40 years old, suddenly passed away. She was out of town on a vacation, 12-year-old daughter, 8-year-old son, and it's just devastating. And after you texted me, I ended up calling you because I wasn't sure what happened. Like, did she make it? Did she not? I didn't know the. And you said no, she didn't make it. And Jeff's telling the kids right now. And I thought, and then I asked you, well, should I come over there? And you said, well, let me call you back. And I never heard back from you, but everything in me said, go. I need to go. I need to be there. And I pulled Jamie, our executive pastor, off the golf course. He was actually on the golf course, and I was like, hey, he offered to go with me, and I said, let's go. Jennifer wanted to go, but she was in the middle of something. And but when I showed up over there, of course, you and Lindsay were there. The cul-de-sac was full of cars. There were people outside, people inside. I mean, so many people were just showing up. I mean, how was it for you being with him when he told the kids?
I mean, everything you think. I mean, it's just like it's probably the hardest part. But you know how cool it was, and I say this because right away, like, their little girl, she's just a sweet little girl, and she's wise beyond her years, and she was like, she's in heaven with so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a true testament to them. and how they've raised them and what they believe and what they've poured into their kids. That, I mean, they've made it a priority, and their kids know that, and I think that makes it special. That makes it special for them. It makes it easier for them. You know, I mean, they know exactly what their mommy believe, and she just, you know, things happen to people, and you know, I think it's hard when you say great people, but like just somebody like her that was just the light. Mm-hmm. I mean, just
huge personality.
I mean, just always smiling. Like you step out of their bathroom and they're, you step out of their bathroom and it says choose joy. Mm-hmm. You know, I just think that, you know, laugh or, you know, all around the house, and there's scriptures all around the house, and just a huge personality that everybody always rallied behind and loved, because just so much light and love. And Leah, you know, my daughter put together like a little sticky note thing on her wall, and it just, you know, said so many things about her. And you're just like, yeah, mm-hmm. Like my 13-year-old knows that. Like, big hugs, big smiles, lots of laughs, loved life, enjoyed it so much, and just so many great things that you know, I know where she is, and that makes things so much better. But we'd rather have her here.
Well, 100%. And you think about Jeff and the kids and her parents. I mean, she's obviously whole and in heaven for all eternity. But it's going to be tough. Jeff's going to go through this range of emotions over the next, I mean, it's fresh right now. We're just a couple days out, and it's going to be weeks, months, years.
Oh, yeah.
And I was talking to her mom. So when I went over to Jeff's house, I saw her parents there, and I had the opportunity to go talk with them and pray with them. And then her mom had a lot of questions for me. And I was sharing with her that this is not something you're going to get over. Like, you're not going to get over this, but God can get you through this. And there are some things that happen in life that you can't get over them, but God's grace is sufficient for us. Another thing I kept telling Jeff is, God's going to get you through this. God's grace is sufficient for you. When we are weak, He is strong. The other thing I shared with her mom is that when we have tragedy and difficult times happen in our lives, we have a choice. We can run to God, and we can run from God. And I've seen a lot. I mean, I've been in this situation, not this exact situation, a lot, but hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people have shared with me their loss and their difficulties, and I've seen it. I've seen people run from God. I've seen people blame God. I've seen people get mad at God. I've seen people walk away from the church. And I've seen other people respond completely different, where they run to God, and they run to small group, and they run to church, and they lean on their fellowship and their Christian friends. And that's what I'm seeing Jeff, I mean, immediately doing.
Yeah. And I think whoever's out there, like, I also think it's okay to have pain and anger and questions. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's fully okay. And I think that's fully normal. If you're in a situation where you've lost somebody, and that, I mean, it's something that, those are emotions that you're going to have. And I think Jeff went through that, but just talking to him and his, you know, he does his quiet time every morning, and he has for years, and his faith has grown so much the last several years. It's been unbelievable. I mean, he's unrecognizable, and I think God's been preparing him, you know, and God's been strengthening him and getting him ready. But, you know, that being said, like, Sunday and what the church did, like, you know, I mean, I'll be honest, and this is, you talk about doubt. Like, I walked in the church Sunday morning, and what we did at the church with Greystone is, it was the coolest thing ever. I mean, we just came in, we did praise and worship songs, and it was just a basically a tribute to Jody and her life. And it was 4 times, 5 times, 6 times as packed as normal. There wasn't a car. We were parked in the grass in the front all the way out. Like, and you know, being able to hug Jeff and just like, I just before we walked in and just be like, look at all those cars, man. Like, you talk about a life well lived. Like, I mean, that's, that says something about your girl.
Well, there's never been that many people at the church. There's never been that many cars. And even on some of those big student nights where the, you know, the cars are, but it was pretty cool because we were coming in. We were at the first service at the Loganville campus, and then we left and we're getting there kind of right at 11. And you had Witt and I think it was Benton out there parking cars. We've got like teenagers parking cars.
Everyone serves, baby.
And but it was cool seeing Witt just kind of knowing his,
yeah,
what he's been through. And but we were parked way up there by the road, and then people were just filling in. We were parking cars everywhere. And then when I hugged Jeff, I mean, Jeff, he is the face of our Oconee campus. And when he texted me and told me I'm going to be at the front door greeting people just like my Jody would want me to do, I got teary-eyed when I read that text, and I thought, oh, man, I don't normally carry a handkerchief with me. But I definitely brought a handkerchief to church.
We talked about it. He's the face. He's the face of our church. And for him to be there in the toughest moment. And listen, just to give y'all a little, like, he was hurting. He was struggling. It was hard. But, like, he went to that service, and he goes up to the cross, you know, while they're doing worship. And every single man in the building went and put hands on him. Every single and you talk about men blubbering, crying. I mean, ugly cry like you wouldn't imagine. I mean, it went from the floor to the stage all the way back, and it was just, it was powerful. And you got the women who were mourning, you know, sitting all together, huddled up, and Jennifer was right there. Like, but the Bible talks about grieving, right? And it talks about mourning, and Jesus wept, right? Like, I think we're going to, and it was so, it was such a powerful deal. Like, after that, we went back to the house, and so many people coming through, you know, showing support, showing love. And after that, he hadn't sat down in 2 days. I mean, the hardwood's going to have, you know, tire tracks. Like, just, it's going to be worn out because he's just been walking back and forth. And he finally sat down, and I was so excited that he sat down, you know. But, I mean, it was just for everybody to come out and support, and everybody to come out and, in a time like that, like when you got somebody going through something, just show up, you know, show up and support. But it just shows you what kind of lady she was. It shows you what kind of heart she had. And I mean, there's just, and we're going to do the service, you know, real soon. And I expect more of the same, because that's the way she lived her life, was just awesome and big and loved everybody. And just she's just the best. She's the best.
Well, Jody loved Jesus. She loved her church. She loved Greystone Church. She loved her small group. She loved her friends. She loved her family. And to me, it was a beautiful picture of the church, like the body of Christ. And I had people texting me from the Oconee campus saying that they were sitting down with their kids last night saying, this is what the church is. This is how God intended the church to be. And you quoted the scripture that we rejoice with those who rejoice, and we mourn with those who mourn. And we were doing a little bit of both yesterday, because we're rejoicing that she's in heaven. We're rejoicing that she lived an incredible life, that she's with Jesus. But the Lord also says the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. So there's so many people that are brokenhearted. There's so many, like, talk about being crushed in spirit. And we saw that yesterday, that the hearts are broken, and it was an opportunity for people to weep and to cry and to mourn and to celebrate and to pray. It was the church coming together, being the body of Christ, and loving on each other and caring for each other and wrapping our arms around his family.
Yeah. And you don't again, I've never experienced it. So it's been a ride, you know. It's been some ups and downs, but you know, just being there, being able to celebrate, being able to find the positives, to find the goods, And then, but I think moving forward is the biggest key. And that's what I'm, you know, cause I do know from having some situations with folks, like the room starts to quiet, mm-hmm. and the room starts to fade, and life starts to go on for everybody. And that's part of it. Right. But that's not going to happen with us. And that's not going to happen with our small group. And that's just not the way it is. Like, we're all going to have, you know, a her-sized hole in our heart. And I think we're all going to make sure that we do everything we can with the kiddos and love on them and show up and get them where they need to go. And, I mean, the thought processes of meal plans and lunches for the kids and all the things and rides and sports and all that stuff, man, like, you know, it's not, it has nothing to do with anything besides, like, how can we help? How can we pour in? How can we serve? If we got to go over there every day, we're going to go over there every day. I mean, that's just the way it is because it's going to take that. I mean, you talk about losing somebody in your life that, I mean, you can lose friends, but that's your best friend. That's your best half. Like, that's not something it's going to go away, you know, for him. And so we don't know what it's going to look like, but I know it's going to look like a lot of showing up and the kids seeing all that yesterday, a lot of the kids in the service seeing that yesterday. And, you know, cause everybody loves them both. I mean, everybody loves all that family because if they love everybody, they love everybody so big, they show up for everybody and everything. And they always have, you know, like that's just the kind of people they are. So now the kind of people they are, we need to be and support and love and share with them. So
I was so encouraged with you and Lindsay and all your small group and other people in the church and just the commitment that y'all had to be there. And I was so encouraged yesterday to see so many people just show up and just to be there. And Jesus said that the world will know that we're true disciples of Jesus Christ by the love that we have for one another. And loving on each other, loving on this family, and not only, and caring for, because everybody's hurting. Oh, yeah. It's just everybody loving on everybody. I think if an unbeliever was there, or an unbeliever is from the outside looking in, what an incredible testimony to what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ.
It would have been impossible to be in the building and not feel it.
So at the end of the service, of course, the whole church, I mean, everybody, 300-400 people, all huddled around. Jeff laid hands on him and his family, and then you prayed. And after that, I don't even know if this was planned, but the band, Brad and the band, go into gratitude, continue the worship. And so Jennifer and I, we're on the kind of front and center, which normally we're not front and center, but that's just kind of the seats that were available. But we're raising our hands and we're worshiping, and I look out of the corner of my eye, and I see Jeff with his hand raised, and then you and Lindsay behind him. I was like, I about lost it. I couldn't even look over there to see, because it was a beautiful picture of we're mourning, we're hurting, but yet we're still worshiping Jesus. We're still grateful.
And I think he kind of let you know, like, it was all right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because I think, like I said, I wasn't in the mood. I mean, I'll be honest, I just wasn't. Like, I love praise and worship music. That's my favorite thing about church. But I was not in the mood Sunday morning.
I don't think really anybody was.
I wasn't. And, yeah. And when he did that, man, oh, God. Yeah. And he texted me and Lindsay afterwards, and he just said, it was the coolest thing I've ever seen. Unbelievable. And he said, we're going to be okay. And I think that's the moment you're just like, and he said, I could feel this Holy Spirit, and we're going to be okay. And that's the moment where you just like, there's a step. You know, and I'm not saying that step's not going to wind and turn and we're going to, yeah. But like, to have that step was incredible. And listen, he doesn't deserve it, what happened to him. Like he doesn't he doesn't deserve it, and neither do the kids, and but his response, I think, is going to be something that teaches us all. I mean, that's going to teach. I mean, I'm already blown away, you know, about how he's responded and how he's handled it, and I think it's going to impact. I think it's going to impact our whole community and everybody around. That when you watch somebody that can do that and raise his hands in the midst of turmoil, when everybody else can see the reason to be angry, can see the reason to be upset, and you're like, I still serve a great God. Like, I don't know that there's much that you can do that's more powerful than that.
Well, I think the way he responded, it's inspiring to Christians. Like, I was talking to several guys, and they were like, I wouldn't have come to church today. I would have been at home by myself, kind of wallowing in the mud, so to speak, kind of woe is me. But he's at church. He's standing at the front door greeting. He greeted every single person that walked into the church. And I think it's a testimony to the people who have fallen away from Christ. I mean, there's people in our community who have fallen out of church, fallen away from Christ.
Something happened that they don't know why.
Yeah.
They've questioned, they've doubted, and then it's led to them to leave the church.
And maybe this brings them back to church. Maybe this brings them back to a relationship with Christ. And then thirdly, you have the people that don't know Jesus. And maybe God uses this to bring them into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this week's Family Goals podcast with David Pollock and Pastor Jay. The most encouraging thing about this whole situation is the way that Jeff and his family have run to God and found refuge in the church. The way the church rallied around him like an army. The bottom line is this: in times of trouble, run to God. Run to God, run to God, run to God. It's okay to be sad or to be in pain or to be angry. It's in our human nature. Even Jesus wept. God is always right there waiting for you. Run to the church, find that good community that's going to be there for you when times like these come. If you're someone who wants to be there for somebody or you don't know what to do or what to say, just show up, be present, and love on them. Find ways to serve the family, whether that's dinners or carpooling or praying for them. Just show up and be their friend. If you found this episode helpful, encouraging, or entertaining, please let us know by subscribing to the podcast or by writing a review. You can also reach us on Instagram and Twitter @FamilyGoalsPod. Thank you again for listening to the Family Goals podcast, and we'll catch you next week.